My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball, GAA.
Somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win. And we had a lot of days against Armagh. They're very, very special.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No! Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hey! Hello, everybody. You are very welcome back to episode 4 of Word on the Street Now. Our second week of it being live, so that's really exciting. Every week, basically, we take a trending news topic, a trending sporting topic, something that's big in the sporting world, and we take it to the public and we find out what you think about it, and then we bring it back in and we chit-chat about it. So you're very welcome along. There was so much we could have covered this week between the Lions announcement, Trent Alexander-Arnold being booed off the pitch in Liverpool, which was kind of mad. It was his first home game since he announced his departure to Real Madrid. There's obviously the ongoing Scortgate issue, much more development in that across the next couple of weeks. And then something very close to my heart personally, the men's sevens program was announced to be cut yesterday, which is just crazy in my personal opinion. But we might cover that next week on the pod. We'll see. In the meantime, there's loads of stuff on all of these topics on our Off the Ball platform. So head over to @offtheball on any of our social platforms and you can find loads of stuff on that. Also from next week, just to drop in there before we get into this week's topic, we want to expand our voices outside of the Grafton Street area, because so far that is basically where we're hiding out trying to find you guys and pounce. So from next week, we'll be opening up our Instagram DMs, our WhatsApps, trying to get more voices into the studio. So you can send us a voice note. We'll put out the topic maybe a day or two before on the Instagram stories, and you can send us your opinion on whatever it is. So you can reach us on 0879 180 180. That's our WhatsApp. And you can send us a voice note, say whatever you want, anything ridiculous, anything crazy. The crazier, the better, to be honest. So I won't delay anymore. This episode is called The Wee Underdog. Now, I love that it's called Wee, because as I had to Google this week, everybody keeps referring to it as the Wee County, and I actually had no idea why. But it's something to do with they have the smallest area per square meter? It's smallest county per square meter?
Definitely the smallest county, but they make up for it in population, but also in the scale of their achievements this year. It's been like remarkable, not just the senior footballers, but at minor level as well. It's, you know, it's been a great year to be from Louth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a fun fact actually that I forgot to drop in there. The last time Louth won the Leinster title, a pint of Guinness cost £1.05. And it's my favourite fact that I've heard this whole week because I think that really puts into perspective just how long ago it was.
Better times. Simpler times.
Well, honestly, you're paying £8 for a pint of Guinness these days.
Anywhere I paid €8.50 for a pint last week. I think I was saying that.
Yeah.
€8.50.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
How are any of us meant to drink? Anyway, so we want to start off looking a little bit at the atmosphere at this Leinster final, because we've heard from so many people that it was just off the charts and something different to what they experienced in any of the previous 4 or 5 years, I think. So the first lady we got in touch with is a Louth fan. Her name is Yvonne. She was great, and she took us through a little bit of what it was like to be at that game.
Well, I can't really explain how electrifying it was, Eve. It was just magnified by a million times. Just the colours, the people, the range of people that were there, from kids to people waiting a very, very long time for this to happen. As you know, it was 68 years, so it was a long time in the making. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. It's hard to describe when you're a GAA fan. It's a very family-like experience when you're involved with club and county. And I'm very much involved with club. So I think everybody that even didn't go to many, maybe, matches felt the need to go to support this team to get it over the line. And I think it was so special, and why it was so amazing was because of the weight, and I think the belief that it actually could happen this time round. The Louth team is in a really good place. Ger Brennan has brought them on. This is the second Leinster Championship final. Mickey Hart has done great work. So I think it was a mixture of you know, the last 6 to 8 years and maybe 2010. I shouldn't probably miss that, you know, with that goal and all that has been brewing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into the reasons of why this was such a special event going into this pod, but I think that is just something that's been echoing around everywhere in the past week, just how special this game was in comparison to anything that's come before it in the past 5-10 years. I think I have the stats here that there were more people at this year's Leinster final, so there were over 65,500 fans at it, than the last 2 years combined, which is just kind of mental that they were able to pack it out that much.
It's crazy, especially when you consider the fact that Louth have been in the final for the past 2024 and 2023, albeit that they were against Dublin. So this match really seemed to bring together, I guess, bring people back to the kind of love of GAA that, you know, maybe it's been so long since you had a final that could be, I guess, between two underdogs. Like anyone in Leinster, really, that's not Dublin, people would maybe mark as an underdog. And you could just see that atmosphere really, really shone through.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I can't remember the last time I tuned into a Leinster football match, but I carved time out of my day.
Yeah.
I delayed coming back up to Dublin just to watch this match. And like you said, Eve, obviously you're kind of rooting for Louth. This is a smaller county. They're almost the underdog of the underdog, but you would have been almost just as happy to see Meath win. It was kind of, for a neutral, it was win-win. That's probably why the match was so enjoyable as well from a spectator point of view. I'd say if you were from Louth or Meath, obviously your heart was in your mouth for the whole match because it was so close, so touch and go. But from a neutral point of view, it was incredible watching. And it's interesting to hear Yvonne talk there in the voice note saying that people felt a need to get behind the team. It's almost like the positive side of a bandwagon. You know, yeah. A bandwagon always kind of gets a bit of a negative reputation. But this was more the people of Louth got out and supported this team who have been training away for years, very little success. And you're just delighted to see it all come to fruition for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting the way you talk about how, from a neutral point of view, you almost didn't mind who won because you were just happy to see them both there in a way. What's interesting is we chatted to a lad, Kyle, from, he was actually from Meath, and he was almost as delighted as Yvonne. He just felt that it didn't really matter the outcome of the game. He was just happy that there were two underdogs who had made it to the final and had a chance to shine. So let's listen to what he had to say.
Well, we looked at the end, there was about nearly 66,000 people at it. And looking up, I think that was the most since 2017. So it had that real all-island atmosphere. And we sat on the Davin stand, but we could see from across the way, especially on the hill, it was just, it looked like chaos from across the way. And you could see the flares and you could almost see like Joe Sheridan masks and Joe Sheridan banners and the chants. And it was overall really, it was great crack. We kind of sat more on the family side, but it was also, we were surrounded by Loud, and I think everyone else kind of said they were surrounded by Loud, so I think Loud brought the mass number of fans, but which, you know, it wasn't, you know, it's not like a, I suppose you could say it's obviously a rivalry, but you know, it was kind of it was a friendly from our standpoint.
I think that's so interesting. We've been chatting about this all week. We have very differing opinions on it, but the fact that a lot of people said to us today that they didn't really mind who won that game. Obviously, the Louth supporters really wanted Louth to win, especially with the 2010 controversy and how long it's been. But it was a friendly, like he said, in a way. Whereas if Dublin had been in that final, everybody would have rooted against them.
Yeah, I mean, can I give you some of my own statistics here, Susanna,
yeah, absolutely,
that I found?
Please do.
So Dublin obviously have been in every final since, apart from this year, since 2010, since the last Louth Meath final. But you have to go back even further to find, you know, Dublin being in a final that they lost. That was 2001.
Wow.
So that was, you know, nearly 25 years ago. So it really does seem to me, and obviously I don't have skin in the game, I'm not from Dublin, I'm from Westmeath, so less successful again. But it does seem to me that the only way that a Leinster final could be exciting with Dublin in it is if Dublin lose. And I feel like that was a sentiment that we really got from Louth and Meath fans both. Yes, they wanted their county to win, obviously. But they were just so excited to have an opportunity to play against a team where the stakes were higher, the atmosphere is more electric. It felt different and it felt like a breath of fresh air that I think Gaelic football, specifically in Leinster, needed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it leads us on to one of our big topics of the day, which is the whole thing about Dublin dominance and has the GAA been boring over the last 5 to 10 years whilst Dublin were so dominant. And what's crazy is that a lot of the people we were talking to seemed to say that it was. So I just want to play this clip from Kyle again, where he chats about how, you know, nobody outside of Dublin actually likes Dublin.
Well, from a Meath perspective, nobody really wants to see Dublin get anywhere. So, however, Dublin were just, you know, they're different class last 10, 15, 20 years. Like, they're, I suppose a lot of people say they're professional and we're not, kind of thing. So it was definitely good to have a change of, you know, I suppose the handover, change of arms into a different final that, you know, people aren't looking at Dublin, they're looking at the same team every year, they go to Croker. That it was two different teams that you know, could battle out on the pitch and give a good contest.
And out of interest, would you support, like, if Dublin were in an All-Ireland final against, like, a team from Kerry or a different province, would you support Dublin because it's Leinster or not really because of that rivalry?
Oh, God, no. No. If it's Kerry and Dublin, we'd be Clifford all the way. You know, it'd be the Kerry place we're going for. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever been to Kerry, Susanna.
That says it all.
It's not a hatred, though. I suppose you could say it's a rivalry, but nobody wants to see Dublin win. You know, it's kind of like Man City in the Premier League. It's won it the last 4 years, so, you know, it's Liverpool's year to win this, or, you know, it wasn't Dublin year, and nobody wants to see Dublin win the next year or the next 5 years, if we can have it that way. But it's not a hatred, it's more of a, you know, you've had your chance, let someone else go at it.
Yeah, fair. And would you say that the finals in the past, like, couple of years have been a bit boring because of that, because of Dublin just always being there and that expectation that they're always going to win?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't want to diss Dublin, but you've seen from the crowd yourself, Susanna, you know, the amount of people that came there on Sunday compared to the last couple of years that Dublin's been on it. It's just more of an interest, I suppose, and even televised. I think, I don't know what the numbers were for DG Carter, but I can guarantee a lot more people were watching that Leinster than before.
This kind of blew my mind because he went to lengths to say, oh, it's not a hatred. I think he said it like three times.
Yeah.
But it certainly seems like a hatred.
Well, you're the only, you specifically, Susanna, are the only person I've ever talked to where you really would argue the point that people from Leinster, if you, even if you're not from Dublin, would support Dublin in an All-Ireland final. Because, I mean, Rachel, you're not from Leinster. So, I mean, I can say for myself, I wouldn't. I've lived in Dublin for years now, but I still would want kind of anyone but Dublin, maybe, in an All-Ireland, which isn't fair. You know, they were successful for a reason. No one can take that away from them. But yeah, why? Just out of interest, like, why would you feel that kind of, I suppose, provincial loyalty?
I think, I don't know if it's even provincial. I think it's Irish for me. As a rugby fan, I have never understood why Munster fans, for example, tend to wish the worst upon Leinster.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Every time.
And it blows my mind because I personally feel, you know, if Leinster got knocked out of the Champions Cup and Munster were in a final, I would be decked out in my red. I was saying to Cian the other day, you know, I almost cried the other day when it was O'Mahony's last game in Thomond Park. And he was kind of like, oh, I've never heard of anyone bandwagoning crying. And I was like, wait, what? As a Leinster fan, I apparently can't feel the emotions with Munster because we just don't interact that way. But for me, I am an Irish fan, I think, first and foremost, and I would support them ahead of anything else. Obviously, if Leinster and Munster were playing, I'll be decked out in blue and I'm very much a Leinster supporter. But I don't understand the hatred, or again, sorry, Kyle, not hatred, the rivalry maybe in the same way. And now people will say to me, this is because Leinster, or in this case Dublin, have had all the success, and they have all the financial backing and they have the money and they get all the resources that the other places don't get. And I do understand that, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you can explain it to me more, because I definitely don't feel that rivalry as strongly as maybe other provinces do.
Because you're not the underdog, you know? It's a privileged position to be in, Susanna, to say, oh, wouldn't it be nice for Munster to win? It's because Leinster and Dublin have been so dominant. And not only in men's football, you know, you see it in the ladies' football as well. Dublin have just been such a force to be reckoned with. And yes, professionalism, and you'd have all the talks of them getting all the resources and getting all the money, but resources and money don't win matches. You know, people had the same argument with Limerick, with JP McManus. The first year Limerick won the All-Ireland, everyone was delighted for them. Second year, oh, I don't want to see this anymore. And the third year, it was like, ah, it's all JP McManus's money. You know, it's a team. People want the underdogs to win.
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep. Until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
This week on Diverted.
¿Te gusta Media Luna?
Sí, well, you know, cuando tienes tiempo en Argentina es esencial para comer Media Luna todos los tiempos.
I tell the story of how my hitchhiking disaster led me to the family of Alexis McAllister.
Para nosotros también es un gran orgullo que mi hermano haya jugado con Maradona y Alexis, su hijo, haya jugado con Messi, que son los dos más grandes exponentes del fútbol mundial que dio la Argentina.
I also meet Dickie McAllister at the Buenos Aires Hurling Club, and we discover the national sport of Argentina, pato.
¿Anduviste en otro lado filmando pato ya o no?
Diverted, coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
You see that with every sport, because we were discussing kind of other sports, and Susanna kind of brought to my attention a quote from the Formula One driver Lando Norris, in which he said that kind of the Max Verstappen Red Bull dominance in F1 had made the sport really boring. And I was kind of sat there and I was going, But that's what everybody said about Lewis Hamilton's dominance, which preceded that. And that's what everybody said about Sebastian Vettel's dominance, which preceded that. And then you can go back to Michael Schumacher. There's always going to be periods of dominance. And when that happens, it will always breed this kind of hope and optimism and need for an underdog. And I think that is why Louth and Meath, whoever won, kind of captured the public's attention in the last kind of week since that All-Ireland, since that Leinster final. Like, any result would have been an exciting one, you know? Like, Meath beating Dublin in the semi-final, I thought maybe that was going to be the big story. But it really seems like this, I mean, I know it's only May, but it does seem like this is kind of one of the big Irish sporting events of the year already that we're going to be talking about in December.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting. I don't know, you know, it's the case in every sport, like the dominant team, it is a bit boring. It's been the case with Leinster this year. Even for myself, like, I'm not going to the match at the weekend because, well, I know they're going to beat Glasgow by buckets and I...
Well, you're going to be... You're that confident to say that on the pod?
Well, they did beat them like 59-0 or something recently. So, yes, I am pretty confident. But I did say this for the semi-final of the Champions Cup and I ate my words because I didn't go. I sat in a pub on the south side and watched it. Sorry, I actually couldn't sound more Dublin there. But anyway, I sat in a pub and watched it and... They lost, and now I have my tickets to the Champions Cup final next weekend, and I have to go and support a different team. And I'm not really sure who I'm going to support yet. But anyway, besides the point...
This is why we don't support Leinster.
They always let us down. No, I don't mean that. But I do think it's interesting on the money point. If a different team was dominating that wasn't as financially supported as the Dublin team seemed to be, would there be the same issue with them? Would people say it's as boring? Would there be... as much hatred towards them? Because I read a quote from Paul Flynn, who was a Dublin GA legend, and he was basically saying that, you know, they still have the money now. They have the same investment as they did 5 years ago or 2 years ago this year. So it's not all about the money, and it's not the case that suddenly that funding has stopped and Dublin has gone downhill. He actually felt that people would look back at the panel 5 years ago and realise how impressive those Dublin players were and actually give them a bit more, I don't want to say respect, but a bit more credit for what they did on the pitch, as opposed to, I think a lot of people were just, you know, oh, Dublin are so good because they have all this.
Yeah, I think their dominance happened at an interesting time as well. It's when we saw GAA become so much more professional. You know, if you look back at footage 15 years ago compared to 10 years ago, the players are getting, you see them now, they're jacked, they're doing their gym programs. And it just probably coincided with that people were getting in sports psychologists, nutritionists, and maybe other teams were a bit slower on the uptake, and Dublin had a bit of a head start on that. So they started to get that reputation of the team that were getting all the resources. So it probably just worked against them in that sense. I'm sure there are other teams out there who had almost as much resources. You still have to translate that to a performance on the pitch, you know?
Exactly. And I feel like we saw that with Louth. Like, we know that they have been sort of their development, and we're going to touch on that kind of from a youth level onto their senior players have been kind of completely revamping their sort of their program. But at the same time, good players win matches, you know, and that Dublin team, as you said, I think maybe we will look back in perhaps 10 years from now when Louth are a powerhouse, we're getting tired and bored of Louth.
Dublin are the underdog.
Exactly. We're going to look back probably with a different eye, but certainly Louth are a fascinating case study, I think.
Absolutely. We'll touch on that, but I do just want to play some of the rest of the members of the public that we chatted to who also said that Dublin being dominant is a bit boring, because I feel like we keep saying it, but it definitely was the consensus of the people we chatted to.
Did you find the Dublin dominance boring? Like, are you getting back into GAA now that it's sort of maybe waning?
I mean, I think what's happened is that the new rules have actually made Gaelic football exciting to watch again. So I think that's been important. I mean, I think it probably did get a little bit monotonous. This seemed like a bit of a machine. And I think it just shakes things up a little bit when some of the smaller counties are in the mix in terms of getting into the finals.
So you think this will be kind of good for, I suppose, the future of Gaelic?
Definitely, definitely.
This was an interesting consensus that was like wide across a lot of people we chatted to, that this will be good for the smaller counties. And I think we'll touch on that when we come into Louth development and why that's happening. But something I did read a lot about this week was, you know, Louth are kind of 50-50 in terms of their participation in GAA and football. I don't know if that's exact, but or the interest at least. But they see a Louth senior team and an under-20 team and a potentially minor team winning a championship. The amount of kids who are going to decide, oh, I'm going to pick up GAA instead of playing football this year, I'm going to focus more on the GAA, I think it will have those trickle-down effects. And we chatted to somebody from, was he from Kilkenny?
He was from Kilkenny.
Yeah, I don't want to get that wrong. But he had a similar stance on that. So before we chat about it, I just want to play his clip as well.
Are you a Gaelic football fan?
I'd be more interested to know the rules change, yeah.
And what do you think of them?
They seem to be pretty good. I wouldn't be an expert on it, but yeah, it's definitely more exciting than it used to be.
Yeah, and do you think, speaking of being more exciting than it used to be, do you think Dublin not featuring in the Leinster final this year?
Absolutely. What was it, like 60,000 people this time went to the final? Probably only 20 in the years before. Like, you need a bit of diversity in it, for sure.
Yeah. Did you tune into the match now on Sunday where you wouldn't have it before?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Like, I wouldn't have any interest if that was like Dublin, me, or Dublin, anyone wouldn't watch.
Do you think it's really helping the, like, not smaller counties, but maybe, you know, the other counties coming on the new rules?
Definitely, yeah. Well, look, if Louth are able to, you know, come in and win, obviously they've been in the final a few times, but like, it gives the smaller counties an opportunity to actually win and keep them interested in the game. But it's good, isn't it?
Are you always rooting against Dublin?
Pretty much.
I mean, he just hammered down the point of everyone outside of Dublin is rooting against Dublin. But I did think it was nice the way he said, you know, if this is a chance for smaller counties to get up and show what they can do, isn't that nice?
Yeah, and because I think we were chatting earlier in the week and we were reading articles about people worrying that if Dublin are in decline, which is no, you know, long term, we're not, you know, prophets, we can't tell if they are, if this is going to be a steady decline. But if Dublin are maybe not going to be as powerful as they used to, will that affect the GAA monetarily? They're the biggest and most successful county. They bring in a lot of kind of funding for the GAA. But I mean, you just have to look at the number of people who turned up for that match. The number of not only turned up, but like you said, Rachel, tuned in, whereas maybe you wouldn't have before. I think having more competitive teams at every level, I mean, am I right in saying that Louth are in Division 2 as well? In the league. So having successful teams at every level, it can only be good for the sport, for the organisation.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think we do need to dive into the wee underdog and try to, we're not experts, as everyone on the listening to the pod knows, but we have done a little bit of digging to try and understand why this year. What is going on? What is in the water down in Louth that has made them so successful this year? Because it is, they've won their first senior football championship in, what did I say, 68 years since 1957, I think. They won their first under 20 title in similar, I don't have the exact number of years, but something like 40-50, I think. And they're set to potentially win a minor championship this evening too. So it's not just a fluke.
No. The thought of doing a clean sweep across the board provincially for Louth is unheard of, you know. And I spoke to Shane Regan, who's the chairperson of Newtown Blues, we'll hear from soon, and I asked him if he could see it coming, and absolutely, he said, you know, it's maybe a shock to everyone outside Louth, but it wasn't a shock to anyone in the county itself.
Yeah, before we get to him, I do want to just go back to Yvonne, our Louth fan, because she kind of epitomised what it meant to be an underdog.
The underdog, sometimes it's nice being in as an underdog, sometimes, because then you can prove a point and come out victorious, as we did. And sometimes maybe the pressure of being an underdog and then proving that you're not such an underdog. But what probably drives me a little bit crazy is sometimes the commentary from the pundits on the variety of stations, you know, they just don't give enough credit to certain teams. And that's probably, Loud would fit into that category where, you know, they obviously the four best teams would be in Division 1, but they forget that sometimes Division 2 teams come victorious, like Dublin came winners when they were in Division 2, Armagh, and amongst others. So, yeah, it's, I suppose, being an underdog, yeah, fine, I can deal with that, but kind of being, you know, downtrodden a little bit, and, you know, it was Loud's day on Sunday.
It absolutely was their day. She said somewhere in that, you know, that the underdogs aren't given the same attention or as enough attention as they should be. We're paying attention to you now, Louth. Honestly, I don't think I've heard so much about Louth GAA ever.
Maybe Louth full stop.
Yeah, literally, I barely knew where it was before this. No, that's awful to Louth fans. I only moved to Ireland when I was 18, so my geography is poor. But I do know where you are now, don't you worry.
Your geography is poor, but your passion is unmatched, so it's fine.
Absolutely. But I do want to talk a little bit about what they've been doing at the underage level. And you chatted to, was it Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what he said, what's going on over there.
Yeah, so it was interesting. We wanted to find out whether, you know, this has been coming for a couple of years or if it was almost a shock to everyone in Louth as well. But speaking to Shane, he said he had a son involved at underage level. This has been happening for years. You know, they've been putting in the groundwork for like the last 10 years. And it really seems to help with just starting underage, you know, getting the development squads in, starting girls and boys with a bit of a passion. Mm. And now people from Louth, the younger kids there, they're going to have these senior teams to look up to and say, there's success on the table. Whereas fair play to the people of Louth, I mean, that have been training away without success for the last 10, 20, 30 years, even further.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't had the stars to look up to.
No, 100%. And I was actually listening to a podcast the other day and it was talking about the Louth captain, I believe his name is Sam Mulroyan.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I got that right.
Sam Mulroy, yeah.
Sam Mulroy, thank you. But he was on a pod 2 years ago and he basically said, you know, Louth will win a Leinster title. Watch us. And he was so confident about his personal abilities, but the team, and he was so passionate. And people made fun of him at the time. They said, what are you on about? Like, what, you don't have the right to be this arrogant. When he wasn't being arrogant at all, he was being confident and he was being proud in his county. And I, now looking back at that, I listened to the same people on the pod 2 years later. And it's like, look at him now. Whoever said that he was arrogant, this was we'll listen to Shane in a second about the pathways that are in place in Louth, but this was also players being so committed and so driven across, as you said, a period of time when they weren't seeing the success, but they believed that they would have success. And I think that's probably played a massive part in driving them to where they are now.
I mean, especially you hear their manager, Ger Brennan, talk and you want to run through a brick wall. He believes, like for him, he believes in this group so much and they all seem to buy into this idea. And I'm sure that that's the same at every single level in the youth and the seniors. So I think that's what's paying dividends as well. Not only their development, but the passion and the confidence that they have.
Yeah. Let's play Shane's clip before we dig into it a little bit more.
I kind of seen it first time myself. My own lad was involved with development squad for, I say, probably from under 13 to under 17 to minor last year, you know. And they were, you know, unlucky to be beaten against Longford and stuff. But it has been coming and coming and coming, I'd say, the past 10 years, 7 to 10 years, you know. And there's great people down there in Darva working on stuff like that, the GDAs, like Brian O'Gogie and Anthony Courtney and the likes of them. And they're the faces that the kids see when they go down to see the development squads, and they're working in the schools and everything like this. And so they make them welcome. They put the facilities and structures in place there for development squads to flourish, I suppose, you know.
Yeah, this was interesting because it kind of mirrors the Dublin, whatchamacallit, kind of system that they put in place, I'm not sure how long ago, but prior to their years and years of domination, that they hired a bunch of new staff and they invested massively in the coaching system. And then they sent those coaches and those staff into, I think it was primary schools, basically trying to get kids involved and falling in love and participating in GAA as early as possible. And I think that's a similar kind of concept that Louth have been trying to follow this year.
Yeah, and whatever they're doing, you know, it's working. And it's working very well. You saw them at the weekend. They're skillful, like they're proper footballers, and you know, the new rules have really allowed for that, which has been super helpful for them as well. You know, they're absolute ballers. You're excited for them to get the ball. It's no longer this hand passing game management, and you can probably see that they've been coached well at underage just to play football as opposed to game management tactics. You know, they're aggressive, they're attacking. It's great to watch, but I'm just excited to see what comes up in the next couple of years from Louth, really, if this is what their senior team are doing now.
Well, the under-20s play, I think it's at 8 o'clock this evening against Mayo in their semi-final. I mean, that's going to be exciting. Every Louth fan, tune into that. But when you think about sort of the new rules, that's something that's been brought up constantly. Everyone we sort of chatted to has said, I think that's the reason why Dublin maybe aren't as effective this year, because other counties have managed to take advantage of the new rules in an incredible way. I mean, you look at Meath, obviously they didn't go and win it, but the amount of two-pointers that they were able to get, you know, their long balls, it was incredible. You know, it's teams, and that's, I think, a good part of why they ended up beating Dublin. So the new rules, they were brought in to make Gaelic football more exciting, more fast-paced, and already only, what, 4 or 5 months into the new rules, we've seen, you know, Louth win their first Leinster final in over 50 years. You know, it's, I think anyone who maybe was a doubter to the new rules, if there was any match that could convince them against that, I think it was this one.
Absolutely. And I will just say that under 20 semi-final is taking place tomorrow night, so Friday.
Tomorrow. Perfect.
Close enough. But I wouldn't have known. It was only because our producer, Brona, sent us in a text saying when it's actually happening.
I just can't wait for more Louth. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
no,
so excited.
Absolutely. I think I might tune into the game, which is a new for me. I do not watch a whole lot of GAA, but it will be very interesting now to see. A lot of people have, there's kind of two sides to it. People are saying, oh, Dublin are on the down. Other people are saying, oh, it's just a blip, it's just a ripple, they'll come back. So I can't wait to see what happens, whether the new rules have a long lasting impact or whether Dublin can kind of catch up and use their skills and their finances to dominate once again. But I think we are all rooting for the underdog, are we?
We are. Now, Louth did knock Cork out of the championship last year, so I'm a Louth supporter for this week and this week only.
Okay, well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up. Just a reminder that next week we want all your opinions from all over the country. So please, 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 we'll put up the Instagram story about 2-3 days beforehand with our topic, and you can reach out to us, send us our voice notes on 0879 180 180. And we can't wait to hear from you. This has been Word on the Street.
Go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you. Hey!
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.